Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Our text for this morning is going to be the Matthew 10 text. I was really debating on following Seth's lead from last week and doing some more Romans 6, but Matthew 10 text, I think, speaks well to us this morning. We'll especially look at the last several verses, mainly verses 26 through 33. That's where Jesus says some things repeatedly to us that I think we all need to hear a little more often as we face things going on in our lives and we look out in the world and we tend to dislike what we see going on. He says this to them, "So have no fear of them." And then he says, "And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." And then he finishes up by saying this, "Fear not, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows." Three times we get this, "Do not fear," "Do not fear," and "Fear not." I was thinking about this and it made me wonder why so many times, and I think the reason that Jesus repeats himself so frequently in this text is because no matter where you are in your life, fear comes so naturally to us. We fear what people think of us. We fear rejection. We fear losing love. We fear losing reputation. Some of us probably fear losing our jobs. All of us fear losing our health. We fear what tomorrow might bring. And most of all, we all fear our impending and inevitable death. And sometimes in all of this fear, it's easy for us to think that God has forgotten all about us. See, that's the context of Jesus' words today. If we go a little bit back in the book of Matthew here, in chapter 10 even, we're going to see that what's happening is that Jesus is sending his disciples out into what will be known to them to be a very hostile world. Not too long in the book of Matthew, we'll find out how hostile this world is to Jesus himself. He tells them plainly that their stuff come in their way, that suffering is about to come. I won't go into the long excursus, but I think this one sums it up well. Even brother will deliver brother over to death. Now, if we are looking for Jesus to give us a motivational speech, this is not it. Jesus is not promising them that they'll have great success or that they'll have comfort as they go out into the world or even that they'll have safety. He's promising them reality. The world that rejects Christ will reject those who belong to Christ, and it will especially reject those who bring the world, the gospel of life, into a world of death. But even at that, as he tells them all the things that they maybe should be worried about, he repeats himself, and then he comes and he says this, "Do not fear." I still think the question is why. Why shouldn't we fear? Fear is so natural to us. Those that hold to an evolutionary belief framework would tell us that fear evolved over millions of years to keep us alive in a hostile world. You see, we know that they're wrong about that. We know that fear is the result of death and that death is a consequence of sin, our sin. But nonetheless, it seems like fear is something we just cannot help. So why? Why shouldn't we fear a hostile world that's out to get us? And yet he still says, "So have no fear of them." And then Jesus begins to weave in his answer as he keeps going. He tells us this, "Have no fear of them for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known." You see, the disciples are going out to be slandered. They're going out to be misunderstood. They're going out to be accused. And Jesus says that the truth will eventually be revealed. That matters because so much of our fear comes from wanting to justify ourselves, from hiding from the truth. We want people to think well of us. We want everyone to understand us. We want to clear our name. And yet Jesus says that there is a day coming when every single lie will be exposed and every single truth will be revealed. Now, the law has something to say to us here. We spend an awful lot of time being our own defense attorneys in this life. We try to establish our righteousness before other people, and we try to manage our image, maybe more so now than ever. We try to prove our net worth, and we try to improve our self-worth. But Christ calls us away from all of that here. He's reminding us that your standing before God does not depend on what others think of you, and it doesn't even depend on what you've accomplished in this life in the time that he's given you. It depends on what Christ has done for you. That's why Jesus says this: "And do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, at the outset, we see this. These are difficult words for us to process. Jesus is just reminding us here that there is something worse than death. Death is an enemy for sure. Scripture never says otherwise, and I'm not here to tell you otherwise. But death is not your greatest enemy. Sin is. God's judgment against sin is. The deepest problem in our lives is not that our bodies are all failing, and they are. It's that we are sinners before a holy God. And this is where the law does its work the best. Every one of us sitting here today is dying. Some of us know it more clearly than others. Some have received a diagnosis. Some have received scary test results. Some experience weakness and pain, and others, at least for now, feel healthy and strong. But the truth is the same. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. The wages of sin is death. That is the reality from which we cannot save ourselves. But that is precisely why Christ came. Jesus does not merely tell us not to fear death. He enters death himself. He takes our sin upon himself. He bears the judgment that we deserved. He dies our death. And then he rises. And it's his resurrection that literally changes everything. You see, for the Christian, death is still an enemy, but it's a defeated enemy. It's an enemy whose teeth have been at very least dulled. It can take the body for a time. It cannot take away Christ from you. It cannot separate you from the love of God that you have in Christ Jesus. It cannot destroy the promise of Christ's resurrection for you and your resurrection in him. Then Jesus, in his storytelling here, in his speech to them, moves from the big, from all those things in eternity, to the small. So he can talk more specifically about you. He talks about a sparrow. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And even at that inconsequential price, there is not a one of them that can fall to the ground apart from your Father knowing about it." You see, in the marketplace that Jesus was used to, a sparrow was almost worthless. And yet Jesus says, not one almost worthless sparrow can fall to the ground apart from the Father's care. Not one. And then he says, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Not counted, as if he just knows the number casually, but numbered. Every hair known individually to him. The point is that God doesn't have a mere general awareness of your life. The point is that God knows you completely. The illness you carry, the grief you hide, the fear that wakes us all up at night, the burdens that you've told no one else. The Father knows, and nothing is hidden from him, and nothing is outside of his care. There is a temptation when our bodies begin to fail to think that God has stopped paying attention to us. Pain can make the world feel very, very small. The future can feel uncertain and terrifying, and fear comes knocking at the door. But hear what Jesus says to you. Not one sparrow falls apart from your Father. You are worth more than many, many sparrows to him. Think of it this way. Christ did not shed his blood for a sparrow. He shed his blood for you. He knows every weakness. He's been there through every scan, every sleepless night, every prayer that seems to go unanswered. And yet, he has not abandoned you. The same Lord who is with you in the days of strength is with you in the days of weakness. The same Lord who washed you on the day of your baptism and called you his own still calls you his own today. The same Lord who forgives your sins today will raise your body on the last day. That promise is not only for those of us who know we're dying, it's for all of us. Every one of us who needs release from sin, death, and the power of the evil one, and that is all of us. Because every one of us needs a Savior to save us from those things. Every one of us stands in need of the same mercy. Every one of us lives only by the same promise. Notice that Jesus does not say, "Don't worry, I'll make you stronger." He does not say, "You got this." He does not say, "Everything will work out just the way you want." He says, "Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." The basis of our confidence is not ourselves. It's God's regard for you in Christ Jesus. The cross proves your value to God. The empty tomb proves his victory for you. The gospel declares that your sins are forgiven in the name of Christ Jesus. That your future is secure. That your life is hidden with Christ in God. That even death itself cannot steal what Christ has given you. And finally, he says this, "To everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." Now, we can tend to see these words as something we have to do. But these words are not another burden for a terrified Christian. They are a promise. The disciples are going to face opposition. We'll see that if we keep reading. They will stumble. They will fail. Peter himself, the strongest of the disciples, will deny Jesus 3 times. And yet, even to him, so we know to us, Christ's promise remains on us. The one who acknowledges us before the Father is the same one who died and rose for us. Our confidence is not found in the strength of our confession. Is found in the strength of the one who will confess us before the Father. Jesus stands before the Father this day and every day and says about sinners like you and me, "That one is mine. I paid for that sin. I died for that person. I have redeemed that child. He belongs to me." And because he says those words, we actually can have peace. So he says 3 times to us today, "Do not fear, do not fear, be not afraid." Not because suffering is unreal, not because death is unreal, and not because life is easy, but because Christ is greater than all of it. The one who knows every sparrow knows you. The one who numbers the hairs of your head has redeemed you. The one who died for your sins has risen from the dead for you as the first fruits of your resurrection. And the one who acknowledges you before the Father will never abandon you. Therefore, whether your days are many or few, whether your body seems strong or you're keenly aware of its weakness, whether your future seems clear or uncertain, hear these words of your Savior this day. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many, many sparrows. In the name of Jesus.